Please be seated. Well, on behalf of the family, thank you for coming this morning. We're gathered together in the presence of God to remember His sovereignty in death as in life, to seek a word of comfort for our hearts. We come to give glory and thanks to God for the life of Woody Campbell. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Again, Christ says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is a Christian worship service directed to our great, good triune God. It's conducted in loving memory of William Woody Campbell, a choice disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woody was born into the church militant and has passed into the church triumphant July 27th, 2018. Woody is survived by his dear wife, 70 years, Georgie, his daughter Susan Coleman and her husband Bill, his son Brad, and his wife Lori, a granddaughter Heather Hughes and her husband Shannon, two great grandchildren, Campbell Elizabeth and Caleb James Hughes, and a sister Clara Campbell. We are thankful that the Lord gave Woody 92 years. He's a man who loved his Lord, loved his family, loved his church, loved and served his country. For that we are grateful. Let us now be called to worship. These words from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, governor and sustainer of all things, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, who gives life and breath and all things, who declares the end from the beginning, who numbered our days when as yet there was not one, against whose will not even a sparrow falls to the ground, who works all things after the counsel of his will, ordaining whatsoever comes to pass. O Lord of life, who dwells in eternity and who has planted in our hearts the faith and hope which look beyond our mortal life to another, that better heavenly country, we give thanks to you for the bright shining light of immortality in Jesus Christ. We praise you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace towards us in all things. O God of all glory, grant that the gospel would be more glorious at this moment than any other. And give us hearts as well as lips to praise your great name. And hear us as we pray together, even that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and their glory forever. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand together and sing together, "How Great Thou Art." How Great Thou Art, hymn number 44.
The Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament contains this declaration: let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We must understand that all of earthly life is a time of constant need. We are not independent, but on the contrary, entirely dependent creatures. It is in God Almighty that we live and move and have our being. And so therefore, it is appropriate to turn and recognize Him as our help in time of need. And those who come to God through saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ have the assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance to the end. Two parts of God's word that highlight our dependence upon our Lord and His kindly disposition toward His people are Psalm 121 and Isaiah chapter 40, which I now will read. The psalmist said, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And then in the great prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, there's a rather extensive description of the God who has revealed Himself in creation and in Scripture. And this God gives us precious promises. And so the question arises in verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is the word of God.
Let us look to that God of all grace and comfort in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, God and Father of comfort and peace, who has sent His only Son that sinners like us might be reconciled into fellowship with You through faith in Him, would You grant us peace in the promise of the gospel? Would You be a refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of need, even now? Grant us comfort from the Holy Spirit. Give deep consolation from the promises of Your word and from the gospel. And that for those who are united to Christ by grace through faith, that for them to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that to depart and be with the Lord is very much better. There will be no more suffering or pain or tears. That at God's right hand is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Grant, O Lord, that we might remember the virtues of our dear departed father, brother, husband, that we might seek to follow his example of faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the life of William Woody Campbell and pray that you would teach us. Thank you for your work of grace in his own life and heart. We pray that you might draw near even now with your comfort and grace and all our hearts. Lord, in the days and weeks and months ahead, would you provide every need for the family in their time of loss and grant us to remember to number our days that we might live them for your glory. Would you draw near with peace and comfort and sustain always for your glory, for our good. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand together once more and sing hymn number 402, Abide With Me.
Thank you.
find on the, if you'll remain standing, you'll find on the back of your bulletins, the Heidelberg Catechism, number one, is certainly meant a lot to many of you and certainly to Georgie as we have talked about these things. It is a very comforting catechism question. I'll read the question if you'll respond with the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Amen. Please be seated. It is a most comforting passage, and certainly why we're here, even to find comfort in God's word. And as we reflect on those words, they are reminders of glorious truths. And I want to look at some other glorious truths with you for a brief moment, and from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the end, chapter 4, verse 16 to chapter 5, verse 8. Let me read those for us. So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time to consider your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Would you press its truths, its eternal truths, upon all our hearts. Give us comfort and grace as we consider it and look to it by faith. We pray you would help us for your glory and our good. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Woody Campbell knew the hope, the comfort of that Heidelberg Catechism question one that we talked of, that we recited together. He knew that comfort well. You heard him talk of it. Maybe not in those exact words, but as a summation of it, he knew it very well. The Apostle Paul wants to press home those truths to our hearts, those very truths that we recited and that I just read, those comforting eternal truths. That's why he's written this. The Apostle Paul knew something of the reality of pain and heartache and trouble and sorrow and facing death. He knew that very well. It's almost as if here, perhaps more than anywhere else in Paul's writings, that he, as we say, wears his heart on his sleeve. It is there he's telling you all of his struggles and his pains and his sorrows. What does he look to? And by the way, this is not this is not the Apostle Paul recognizing or suggesting that, well, everyone else has trouble and I have none. You'll notice even in the text that we read, he says, our outer self and is wasting away, our earthly home. He knows the real struggle and the pain and the sorrow of it all. And he's here to press comfort and hope to our hearts in the time just like this, just for this. His aim is comfort and encouragement in the Lord. Do we face struggles, trials, death? Yes. How do we deal with it? It's in the reality here of what Paul is saying, in the reality of Christ's resurrection. And all that is eternal. Paul knew what it was like, in fact, to lose heart, even as he encourages them not to lose heart, so we do not lose heart. He knew what it was like to lose heart and to have the real pain. He's not excusing it. In fact, the Bible would say to us it is very right and good and appropriate to grieve, and to mourn. And he's not excusing that, but he's helping us deal with it. And to deal with it in, I think, three ways we see in the text, with confidence. As I've talked with the family, and especially Brad, we've had conversations about how the confidence that comes from knowing Christ and dealing with such a hard time and a hard thing, but to do so knowing the Lord makes all the difference. Woody would have me press that to you. Do you know the Lord? Are you trusting in Christ? It makes all the difference. But there's confidence that Paul speaks of. Why, in fact, does he speak at all? He says so in chapter 4, even in verse 14. He is saying that very thing. Why do I speak? Why do I talk at all? Well, it's because of this. Knowing that he who has raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. That was his confidence. That's the confidence of God's people now. While we gather, while we will continue on and waiting on the Lord and trusting, with the confidence that he will raise us too with Woody, with all his people. And what beautiful language to raise us also with Jesus, who is raised from the dead. And that we will be in his presence. Isn't that the great confidence we have as we gather here this morning? We have confidence in Christ that we will gather together again with Jesus, with all in Christ, our loved ones in Christ. And what a glorious thought to gather in his presence. And that's wonderful thought. It's what motivated Paul to speak. It's what motivated Paul to give encouragement and hope of the gospel in such a time as this. And as we face the reality of death, Paul would have us think about this reality as well. It's okay, certainly, to be honest. It's appropriate, as I said, to grieve death, but that reality of our death is mixed with the reality of something else, of inward growth and renewal and something more. And Paul points to that in verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away. You hear him saying that. Yes, I'm acknowledging the reality of the situation. This is the way it is, and it's sad. But there's something else going on too. And Woody was being renewed day by day, prepared for something greater. And so that's not the only reality, is death and the sadness and the sorrow. Paul is pressing us to that and the confidence we have in that reality based upon Christ's resurrection. He gives a comparison here of a couple of things in verse 17. It doesn't always feel that way. Sometimes there's a real struggle as we come to verse 17, as he refers to it a slight or a light momentary affliction. It seems like it's a long time, doesn't it? And yet Paul would have us trust the Lord that this is light and momentary compared to something else. He even uses the language he uses is almost like he's saying it's light and feathery. How in the world can he say that? It doesn't feel light and feathery, does it? But he wants us to look at it that way with confidence because of Christ's resurrection and the eternal. He wants you to have that in your head and in your heart, that compared to this is an eternal weight. An eternal weight, and it's a weight of glory. And it's something heavy and weighty and lasting that will never end. He wants you to think about that. That's the confidence that we have in Christ. It's a great comparison we need that will give us confidence as we consider it. He also gives us something of an exhortation, I think, here in this text. As he says in verse 18, he will say, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. It's a great encouragement, isn't it? It's really an exhortation. I know that what we see here, it doesn't seem light and momentary. But we live by faith, Paul says, and not by sight. We live by faith, trusting. And there's something that will increase our confidence in the Lord, as he says that, continuously looking to that which is unseen and not that which is seen. Looking to where Christ is, where Woody is now with him. And so we have to constantly be lifting our eyes, as he's saying, to looking beyond this life. And in doing that, is there strength in that. There's confidence that comes from that. That's what Paul is wanting you to do. Remember things that are unseen, things that aren't transient, as they are in this life, but things that are even more real, we can say, and lasting and permanent, full of joy in the Lord. He might have gone out of our sight, but not the Lord's. And we will see him again if we are trusting in Christ. You know, Woody had this look, as if I can say it that way, of what Paul is speaking of, looking to things that are unseen and eternal. He was looking to Christ. And with great confidence, that confidence he had even while in this life was met with a Savior welcoming him with the same look. And it's an exhortation for us and all of our encouragement. You know, the reality is we have confidence in the resurrection of Christ. He is our head. And if our head is in heaven, the body is sure to follow. It's every confidence we have that Paul wants to press that home to our hearts, even now. But he also is here to give us comfort, not just confidence, but comfort in life and death. And you see that in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5, as he continues on that line of thinking. Why do we have confidence? Why this great comfort? Well, we know something. And he refers to having a building from God that's eternal. There is some kind of comfort, isn't there, in certainty, knowing something for certain. That's what he's wanting you to know here and to think about, where we know something. And there's a great deal of comfort in that. What is that? Certainly our earthly home might be destroyed. He's using figurative language of a tent, an earthly body, and it being destroyed, as it were. Well, it's almost as if he says, well, no problem. We have an eternal home from God that will never be destroyed. And our God is good and almighty and wants to press home comfort to our hearts. And so he would have us to consider that, to take comfort that, well, in fact, Woody has exchanged that which is earthly for that which is eternal. That God made this heavenly dwelling, this reality, permanent. What a great comfort that is to be for us. He's wanting, in fact, to press home that comfort, even as you consider the contrast between a tent and a building. A tent is not meant to be lasting. He wants you to think of that. A tent is transient, impermanent. A building, there's something stable about it, something lasting, something ongoing and permanent. And he wants you to have that in your mind, even as you think of your loved one, our loved one. It is loss, isn't it? It is sad and sorrowful, but he also wants you to add to that and think about it being something of gain. As Christ would say, as Paul would say, that For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he wants you to think of it in that way. As Paul is saying that, going from a tent to a building, going from something impermanent to permanent and lasting and stable. And our, as he goes on in verses 2 through 4, our earthly existence certainly consists of, as he uses the language, of groaning and longing and burden. We long and groan for our heavenly dwelling, as Woody no doubt did. And yet we see something of God's sustaining grace and kindness. I'm told that all the children and grandchildren got to say goodbye. What a sweet kindness that is, isn't it? We often don't think of that, but the Lord is kind. The Lord is good in that way, to let every single one say bye. And you know, all those who trust in the Lord will also get to say hello, won't they? Also seeing his kindness. We should take comfort. Woody no longer groaning and longing and burdened. What is mortal? What wonderful, rich language Paul uses here of death being swallowed up by life in verse 4. What is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's what's happening. That is what has happened. It's swallowed up not by death, but swallowed up by life. What a great encouragement and comfort that is to our hearts to know that Woody has been swallowed up by life, as it were. Woody is more alive now than ever. You know, Luke, Jesus makes that very point and wants to press it home hard in Luke chapter 20 as he's taking all kinds of grief from Pharisees and Sadducees, of course, and he wants to shut their mouths. And he does so from Scripture, and he says to them, you know what? God is the God of the living. He said it. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, it means he is their God, not was their God, but is their God. That they were very much alive. Jesus was saying that about them at that very time. We say that now about Woody. More alive now than ever. He is alive. Because God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And so we find that a very comforting truth. We also see that in verse 5, how lovely it is. It is God who has prepared us for this very thing. God has done everything. God has worked it out, and it is better, isn't it? As we will see in just a moment. I just want us to take comfort in that this is not random. It's not just chance. This is God behind it all, and God doing something very real and very good. God working comfort into our hearts to tell us that, and to say He is also not just prepared it, but given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Woody did not go into that grave alone, will not go into that grave alone. But having the Holy Spirit with him, there is nothing better. Christ has sanctified the grave for his people. Some have often said that because of Christ and all that Christ has done, death is but a gardener. Great comfort in that, isn't there? That Woody doesn't go into the grave alone, and you won't either if you trust in Christ. Have the Holy Spirit with you. God always being with you from beginning to end, into the grave and out of it, all the way through. That's what we find here, very comforting. Just like the fire furnace scenario and the lion's den. God is with his people in the very midst of it. And so God is with Woody even now, having prepared an eternal dwelling. Even using language of being, it seems like something has taken place that's been diminished. And yet Paul speaks of it here in verse 4 as being further clothed. Doesn't seem that way, does it? But it's the truth. He's been further clothed, swallowed up by life. God with him in a very real way. There's meant to be every comfort in that. But also, one last thing we see here is courage that Paul wants to press home to your hearts. In verses 6 through 8, he uses that language twice. He says it twice. So we are always of good courage. Could also be said of good cheer. Who can be of good cheer at a time like this? Those who trust the Lord. Those whose hope is in the Lord. Those who are united to Christ, knowing that they will never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. They can be of good cheer. The minister said one time, what do we do in the face of death? Well, one thing we can do, he said, we sing the doxology in the face of death. Why? Because of Christ. Because of the sure and certain hope of resurrection. And you look at what he says in verse 6. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And he goes on to say again in verse 8, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I think that expresses something of the longing of Woody's heart, of course, trusting in Christ, wanting to be home with the Lord. Well, he is now. Isn't that wonderful? The not only the comfort, but the courage it gives us in life that we too will be home with the Lord when we die if we trust in him. And it's meant to give us encouragement as we face such a time as this. Woody being home with the Lord is almost as if he's saying to us, take courage, take heart. Woody is home with the Lord. He's home with the Lord. Woody's death is not ultimate because he's united to Christ, and Christ rose again and assures that the grave will not hold him. The grave will not hold him. It's a resting place. The Bible will use language again and again of it being like sleep. It's not wanting us to deny the reality, but wanting us to think of it in that way. Christ will sound, the trumpet will be sounded, and Woody and all in the Lord will rise again. In the twinkling of an eye, be changed. What glory that is, isn't it? What confidence and comfort and courage we have in the Lord. The American evangelist D.L. Moody, he said before his own death, he said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all. It's true, isn't it? That's true. Woody has fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith by the grace and power of God, having laid up for him the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself will give, not only to him, but to all who have loved his appearing. What a joyful thought. You know, Brad told me a conversation he had with Woody, perhaps one of the last, maybe if not the last, of a sweet conversation about heaven, about what's to come, and saying hello to Woody's father-in-law and grandfather. And it's remarkable, isn't it, to see again the Lord's kindness and having such conversations, but Woody with a twinkle in his eye saying, I sure will. Thinking to his last days about heaven, about glory, and the wonderful reality of it all, and meeting loved ones who have gone ahead. And that's what it is for all who are in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a apparently there's a joke that Woody really loved Krispy Kreme donuts. I witnessed that. Me and my family witnessed that as we walked in, and one of the first things after a handshake was, do you want a donut? There is the joke of Woody perhaps being the official greeter being a greeter in heaven and asking people as they come in, do they want a donut? What a joyful smile that man was, and a picture of hospitality and graciousness. We know he received a better greeting, didn't he? Received a better word of welcome, as the Savior would say with open arms, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. What a glorious thought that is. You know, as we as we will go later on, even to the graveside. It's a reminder, Winston Churchill had taps played at his funeral, at his graveside. But he surprised people. They didn't know what was coming, is that immediately after taps, he had them play Reveille. As a reminder, isn't it? He wanted them to think of that, being reminded of the glorious resurrection to come. And so it is for Woody. We have every reason to know that our Redeemer lives, as Job says, and he shall stand at the last on earth. And after my flesh is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. Amen. Let's pray. God and our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its eternal truths. Would you give us much comfort and encouragement, confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection? Would you press these truths upon our hearts? Even now we pray for Jesus' sake, for your glory and for our own good. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we conclude and sing hymn number 689, Be Still My Soul. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all.